If you have your Bibles or you got your phones, if you want to turn to Psalms chapter 2, we'll begin with that. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you and we worship you. We acknowledge your presence, Holy Spirit. You're always orchestrating, you're leading everybody in here. And we thank you that you put us together by your supernatural divine wisdom and understanding. You hooked us together, and we appreciate it. We're yielding ourselves to be persuaded by what you have to share with us as we finish our race and we bring thy kingdom here on earth as it is already written in heaven. Again, Holy Spirit, teach us, we pray. Amen. So this week, boy, lots happening. Some of you might have saw that there's a lot of wood on our property. They're ready to start Monday morning, and we're rocking and rolling. Steel's up, and so it'll look pretty good from Interstate from here on out. It'll be kind of fun. Having a good time with all the workers, and Lisa already bought a dozen donuts and took it to them. I couldn't believe she did that, but she said she would, and she did. How to win friends and influence people. So that's going on, and yet it's kind of a big deal at the same time. Boy, this week, the Lord is just so many times I get caught up in, well, how are we going to do all this? And he just said, it's a small thing compared to things that are going on right now, John. Don't worry about it. What's happening right now worldwide, what's happening in the kingdom is massive. And met a lot of people this week. I had probably at least five leaders that I talked to. Some of them were ex-members that came by. Some of them were just a whole lot of different things. But that really majorly spoke to me. And some of them prophesied over me. Some of them just were in their conversation that really sparked things that are already happening. But I was just saturated with the Spirit of God in instruction and encouragement and correction and direction. So I'm going to be sharing some of that that's happened. So I'm going to ask Chad to come and read Psalms 2, the whole psalm. It's an intriguing psalm with where we're at today, and then we'll go from there.
All right, the second psalm. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O king, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Very interesting prophetic and just the truth. You know, to think nations do get an uproar, and I'm just... We all know that there's people getting in power, and they're just they love the power. There's a lot of people that have no respect for mankind, no respect for God, and we're all seeing that day and night. We're seeing always have been violence, but right now there just seems like there's been permission for people just to go do whatever they want to. And yet here God says, you know, you guys get all wound up, and you've fluff up and you think you're so powerful, and God just kind of laughs at them. That's an interesting picture for me. I try not to laugh at people. I try not to scoff at them, but at the same time, that's what David wrote here, that God just says, you know, you think you're something and you're not. And that that God had set his king, King Jesus, on the throne. And that's already taken place. That's done. We have a king. We have a savior. And he's powerful. Found out there's a couple pastors praying every week for our city, gathering together, so I'll be joining them. And Mark Wheeler came by, and we were just fellowshipping and sharing some of these things, and I can't remember all that was said, but the Spirit of God began to minister to me. He said, about taking a stronger stand. And we've been taking a stand, but he just said, kind of refine it. You know, I've shared a message once about, you know, swatting flies. I grabbed a fly swatter once, and I went to hit the fly, and I missed it. And then I missed it. And I heard the Spirit of God said, you have to focus. Okay? You got to aim. Okay? And that's been one of my problems with shooting. Sometimes I don't really. I'm happy if I just shoot close to it. I took my little humor here, but I took my Harley Davidson Sportster once. Went back to the farm, and all our dirt bikes were not running. I was working construction, and I said, brother, let's go hunt some foxes for fun, and none of them were running, and they usually could find one you could push and run. And I finally just said, oh, forget it. I just bought myself a .357 Magnum. And so I said, I'll take my Harley. And we went out on the prairie, and there's a big plowed field there, and a fox jumped up, and boy, I tell you what, I don't understand it. There's just something about those little red devils that will make your blood purl. And so all of a sudden, I look down, I'm doing 80 miles an hour on my Harley across a plowed field. Yeah, hit a rock about that big, and I thought I blew everything, but it was okay. I had a good shield plate down there, and then finally the fox gets, you know, crosses the fence line, so I stop, and I just kill my Harley, and grabbed my .357. I just wanted to shoot it. And, man, I was boom, boom, you know, and the thing was dancing, you know. I didn't hit it, but it felt good just to make him dance. And but the only thing that was wrong was I got excited and went to put my gun in my holster at the same time that I kicked the bike took off. And I didn't have a hold of the handlebars. anyway, it turned out all right. I'm still here. But the thing about aiming is, if you really want to hit a target, you get, you know, even if swatting flies, don't try to get close, hit it. And so it is with our walk with the Lord. So I want to read to you out of 1 Timothy 2:1 says this, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, so all those are things of just requesting God. There's so many ways to pray. There's a lot of different variations. I'm not going to try to teach that. But anytime you're making a request to God, he just says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings. This is really powerful. And thanksgivings. That word is gratitude. It means actually a grateful language to God as an act of worship. So in our petitions, praying for one another and praying for leaders, that we pray with gratefulness. I've shared this with overseas a lot, and Daniel McCarty keeps saying, he's the one that kind of ministered back to me this week. He said, John, you've always taught me that if with an attitude of gratefulness, you can get through anything. If there's anything that's going to carry you through a tragedy, it's an attitude of gratefulness. And so he said, first of all, these entreaties should be done for and a petition for all mankind, on behalf of all men, and for all the leaders. Pray for the leaders, that you may live a peaceful and tranquil life, a peaceful life. So this, and it says, this is the will of God. So it's important for us to know the will of God for us is still the same. He wants us to pray for our leadership, and he wants us to live a peaceful life. He's not into all this violence. He's not trying to use that to win people to the Lord. I mean, he will, but he is good. The song that we led, he is good. For everybody, he loves mankind. He respects them. And he, you know, and I know everybody says, you know, most people turn when they hit tragedy. Thank God for that. But I don't, he says his loving kindness leads us to true repentance. Let's don't forget the most powerful way to win somebody to the Lord is by the kindness and the mercy of God, not by harsh living. So Proverbs 21:1-3 said, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. This is what Jody was sharing. Well, all of us think we're right when we look upon things. But the Lord weighs the hearts, and that's something you and I don't get to do. You know, we say, well, that person's got a good heart. And that's a great thing to say and a blessing. But in some ways, you got to say, you know, when somebody says, well, they got a good heart. How do you know? What gave you the judgment to look in somebody's heart that God said nobody gets to look into but the Spirit of God? We don't know what's inside people's hearts. But God does, and he's looking at it, and he says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. So sometimes when you're seeing people going the wrong way or whatever else, just kind of remember, they think they're doing right. And you come up and say, well, how come you're just doing wrong? They think they're doing right. And so until their hearts' eyes are open and they see, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteous and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. So I believe he's really speaking to us. We've done this, but I believe he wants us to hit the target more precisely. And as a body, you know, there's a lot of really good ministries taking place in the Black Hills right now. There's a lot of good churches, a lot of good pastors. I'm just way more than 30 years ago. And I haven't had much time to get out there and meet them all and all that. Again, unity happens when each person obeys God. We all get drawn together. So just know that there's a lot of great ministries. And God's moving on the hearts of a lot of people. And there's a lot of people. One of the things that Mark Wheeler said, you know, he just encouraged me again, just the old story about Caleb and Joshua. The spirit of Caleb, we need leaderships to rise up. And Caleb was old. He was 40 years old. No, he was 80 years old. And he said his eye wasn't dim, and he just said, give me the mountain. And all over the world, you know, we still need leadership that rises up. And I'm close to Caleb's age, closer. And I feel like God has really been saying to me for the last couple of years, get yourself restored, get yourself as healed as you can, get yourself prepared as you can. And get yourself mostly prepared to be righteous, which means to be who you really are, just to be who you really are, not to be something else for somebody else, not to fake it, just to be who you really are. And you and I, we're children of God that are born and washed in the blood and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And again, just encouragement, don't take it lightly who we are. And the importance. And this is my message for not just you and me, but for everybody I meet. I pray it's a message for you when you meet other believers, is to encourage them. Their part's really vital right now. That's something the Lord has been a couple of years ago or more, just to tell everybody their part is vital. And see, here again, we look at things and say, well, yeah, that's not a real big important part. It's kind of, and we do not understand how important some little parts are. Bible said, "What, you know, what God esteems, we don't, and what we esteem, he doesn't." So don't look upon anybody and think that their part's not important and don't need, and that they don't need encouragement or they don't need to be, you know, prayed for or whatever else. So part of it is been some talk around about, you know, our city having some struggles, some debt. And et cetera, and some resign and all that. And I'm just here to say, I believe God wants us to step up and say, this is our city, this is our Black Hills, this is Rapid City, this is, and we need to now say, we're praying that leaders step into rightful places to do justice and to do righteous, that aren't out for their personal agenda, that are out to serve the people, not to be something. And we need to take that rightful place in intercession and prayer and say, we are believing. You know, and part of it is it gets pretty hard on your mind sometimes, the more that you know and the more people you know, and just say, who is out there that would actually lead in the right way? Well, it may be few, but we only need a few. We only need a few, and we need to, you know, remember the six C's. We need to stop complaining. We need to stop comparing. We need to stop trying to correct and trying to control that. But we do need to take our place and say, this, Father, we're before your throne and we're praying petitions with thanksgivings. Give us leadership. Raise up leadership for the sake of the people and for our city. That's a pretty stiff word, okay? Because it's really a lot easier just to complain and just to judge. But if you're going to do that, I believe you kind of cancel out the power of prayer to have people rise up. You know, in some ways, my heart goes out because I want to say, who wants that job? Anybody that wants it shouldn't be in there. They probably want it for the wrong reason. But then I think, no, there are people that the Lord speaks to and ministers to, and they will rise up and do righteous. And we need to believe now. This is not over. As we said, Gary Johnson just sent me in a sermon from 1977, right? 75. Baxter preached the King, Thy Kingdom Come, and I listened to it last night again, and just, man, it's just exactly what the Lord's been saying to me. He brought out the fact, the Father said, Jesus, sit down at my right hand until. And he's, until. In other words, he's not standing up to blow the trumpet. He's not standing up to bring his kids home until every enemy is put underneath his footstool. And so that's our commission. Pray this way, Jesus said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray, and he said, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, you do something about it. I'm sitting down. That's my job. I am the King of Kings. God made me the King of Kings. He made me the Lord. But right now, to get this kingdom to come onto earth means my body has to do my bidding, has to speak what I give them to speak, have to act on what I tell them to act on. And I'm just going to throw this out. A lot of people want to say, well, the world's in a mess because of the church. I guess I wouldn't put that on the church. I think the world's a mess because there's an evil one. And he's never stopped. But I will say this. We have the authority and the right and responsibility to live by faith and to speak the truth and to pray and intercede that people will respond to the call of God and rise up and lead properly. Praise the Lord. And I believe the word that Enrico got about the Philippines having a famine, not of food and of water, but of hunger for the word of God, is happening in America. There is becoming a famine in people's hearts. They're hungry for the word of God. They're not, I pray they're not hungry for religion. I pray that they're not hungry for some ritual thing. I pray they're not just hungry just to have some exuberant experience. I pray that they're hungry for the word of God, the truth that sets people free and empowers us. You know, Ephesians says this, our battle's not with flesh and blood. And what a hard thing to keep track of when we look at our governments. Our battle's not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and place all those things. I think I've got a scripture that I didn't put down. I could look it up in my phone, but I'll just refer to it. You and I were born in sin. It's Ephesians 2. It says, in which we formerly walked according to the course of this air. There's not one of us that isn't affected by this, okay? You were dead in your sins, and you formerly walked according to the course of this air, of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. We cannot forget that Satan and his cohorts are still trying to rule everything. He's been cast out of heaven, but he's still in the so-called heavenlies. There's authorities, there's principalities and powers that have, and we are the only ones that can speak the truth that when God gives us the truth to speak. And our words are like a sword, and they cut, and Jesus came, what? To destroy the works of the devil. We're still in that, our Father's business. And I guess I've just really, you know, believe that, but I think the Lord is really putting some emphasis right now. Stand your ground. But don't do it against people. Get a hold of the principalities and powers. You know, a few months ago I said that there was a demon out of Fort Meade that I've watched there for 30, 40 years. And finally fell out of the Lord. I think you got to be led by the Spirit of God. You don't just randomly throw this fly swatter out there. You wait till you find out. And he told me to tell him to depart, and I saw him walk out east, never to return. But the Lord said to me when I did it, he said, there are now higher powers that need to be brought down. Expect to see some trouble. But now take your stand, and we're going to bring them all down. And so I believe that's where we're at right now. So what does that mean? Well, it means you can't live your life sloppily all the time and still hit the mark. You can't just let your mouth run off on anything that comes by and then all of a sudden just speak the right thing and have it come to pass. There needs to be consistency with this. So I'm really encouraging all of us in this town to be as careful as we can, not to criticize, complain, and gripe and all that, but to say we're taking authority in prayer to bring the kingdom into our communities. Praise the Lord. And I believe, think about this. I believe it was in Pueblo, Colorado, where a silver mine was. I may have this wrong, but it failed. And the whole town was living on that. And one pastor down there just started grabbed his church people and said, we're going to bless this city. This city's going to prosper. And it was almost like it was going to turn into a ghost town. But it took a few years, but God literally turned the whole economics of that city around without the silver coming back. Just turned it around. You know, I'm kind of reminded about the story where, you know, back in the old days where it hadn't rained, and the blacksmith was an atheist, and it didn't rain, and finally the pastor, said, we're going to be praying this Saturday for rain, and he says, and the blacksmith said, good luck. And anyway, they pray for rain, and hadn't rained for a long time, and it rained. The place was restored. So the pastor went to the blacksmith and just said, well, what'd you think? And he says, Pastor, do you really think that it was your prayers that brought that rain? And he said, well, yeah, I do. And the blacksmith grabbed his big old maul, hit his anvil just as hard as he could. And he says, if you ever let this town get in that bad shape again. I don't know why I said that. But stay humble. Stay humble. We're not God, but we have a king, and he is, and we're under his authority. We speak what he tells us to. Stay humble, but speak what he tells you to speak. And stay in faith, and do all that you can to keep your mouth from rattling off, just to have fellowship with people, just to agree with people. You don't have to rebuke everybody. You don't have to tell everybody, we're praying and it's all going to change. We do this before the Father in secret, but he'll be manifested in the public, and people will rise up. Hallelujah. It goes on to say this. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being so rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, I believe in the Amplified, I forgot to look it up, but it says something like this. In order to satisfy his unfathomable love for us, our Father has an incomprehensible ocean of love for mankind. Don't forget that. Even the mankind that are walking in darkness and the lust of their flesh, he loves them. He is going to have the final word, amen? He's still going to be judged, but it's like this is the moment for him to try to bring all mankind. It says when you pray, first of all, pray for all people. He desires all people to be saved. And you and I got saved, and by his grace we have been saved and raised up with him and seated. We've been raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which means we're seated in authority. Under his authority, we have authority. So that in the ages to come, he might show his surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. Boy, isn't it amazing that, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I actually have a harder time thinking about it now than ever, because it's like I don't comprehend how do you live forever without strife, without problems, without anything. You know, I mean, if who's going to golf if everybody's a pro golfer? I mean, what fun is that? I'm just weird, but I think you probably think the same way. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to it. But it does say it'll take him ages to show us all the things he wants to show us. So it's going to be an ever-learning, great process. It's not going to be boring. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not as a result of works that anyone should boast. Stay humble. Don't boast. But don't be pushed out of your position. I'm taking authority. And again, I'm going to keep emphasizing for a while, because I know our flesh, and I know my flesh, and I know the fleshly attitude. It's a lot easier just to gripe and complain and judge and criticize than it is to take a stand and say, I'm standing here, and I'm going to stand here no matter how many years it takes until righteousness rules in our city. And we're blessed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. Could be overlooked, that last statement, but we were called, we got saved. We didn't get saved by good works, but we do good works. We do the right thing. We do what the Father, as the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. And so we do the same thing that he did. We hear him, we speak. We see him, we do it. And he's prepared a path of good works for us. Boy, how important is it for every believer to think about themselves? My Father has prepared things for me to do. I'm important. He's got things, you know, I know I hear this, and it's probably true. I don't know, but sometimes people say, well, God sent me to this place, but I was his third choice. The other two wouldn't do it. Maybe that's true. But in my opinion, you got to consider this. I don't think God has called people to be on the bench just to wait for an opportunity. I believe he has a specific call for each one of us, of a path of good works that we're supposed to do. Boy, if you start believing this, you'll start seeing your whole life differently, that no matter what your age, no matter what your abilities, no matter whatever else, that you're a child of God, joining with Jesus. He is the head, you're the body, and he has things for you to do. And if you just say, oh God, I don't know what they are. You don't need to know what they are. You really don't. As Joey said, I want to know. No, you don't need to know. What you need to know is this fellowship with God and keep confessing out of your mouth the right word. The word, take the word of God that you read. You know, you can read the word all day long and not have it change anything in your life. It's the word that you begin to speak back into your own heart. The rhema that you say, this is the truth. All week I had to go to the word of that I Philippians 4, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. Let that forbearing, that spirit of being patient, that spirit of being consistent, that one of hoopamone, the Greek word says that when you get knocked down, you just keep coming back up. Let that be known to all men. Why? And rejoice in the Lord always. And I've been speaking that to myself. Why? Because I need it. I need a manifestation of that crop. And so we take this word of God, but we know this. We have a job to do. As you drive by other churches, bless them. Pray for them. Say, man, God, whatever you got them doing, he's got a place for them. We don't need to compare. We don't need to join the same thing. We just need to say, God, thy kingdom come in that group. Raise up the path. Raise up leadership. Raise up. You know, if we had a simple thing that twice, if the body of Christ in Sturgis, South Dakota, doubled, do you realize how much work that would be for every church? They all need to be trained. They all ought to be, you know, it's like there's plenty in the vineyard. There's no need for saying, oh, let us be the best church. We don't need to be the best church of nothing. We just need to be obedient to what he's telling us to do. But we do need to recognize, if we don't recognize how important we are, we will miss the fly. Well, you got the picture. Chad, would you come? Praise God. So I got this email. I want to ask Chad to read it. I've been crying over it. The last city I went to last time in Albania was up in the mountains in a high place, and I was we were driving up there, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to minister? And he said, I'll give it to you when you get there. I'm used to that. You know, somebody says, well, how many hours did you put into that last sermon? About 60 years. About 60 years. Been putting the Word of God into my heart. And so have you. You're more prepared and more qualified than you think. And the Spirit of God will bring things to your remembrance that your head has forgotten. But anyways, driving up there, and when we got there, I felt the Spirit of God come on me and just go into a prophetic mode. But I had this young interpreter. Boy, an interpreter makes all the difference in the world. And I got this young interpreter, and immediately I just felt a kindred spirit with him. And so he just sent me this email, and bless you for reading it.
All right. Dear Pastor John, it's been a while since you visited our small church in the village on May 5th. Your presence was a wonderful surprise. We were expecting a guest, but having a preacher like you was truly special. First, let me refresh your memory and introduce myself more clearly. We had a brief conversation during your visit, but I understand you meet many people and it can be challenging to remember every detail. My name is Alessandro Mirage? All right. I'm 22 years old and work full-time remotely for American companies. I have been a Christian since 2019. I was also the interpreter who translated your sermon for the church. I wanted to reach out to you because I feel I need to share a personal testimony. Your visit had a deep impact on me, and I believe God used you in a powerful way to reveal important things, not only to the church, but to individuals as well. I'm one of those individuals. Pastor, I've heard many sermons in my life, but there was something truly special about yours. Even though you didn't have anything prepared, you took small pauses to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, and he provided. This is why so many people, including myself, were moved to tears at the end. You spoke words of prophecy to the pastor and his family, to an American couple named Jacob and Hannah, and to me as well. You were the only pastor who gave me a fatherly hug. I remember it clearly when you grabbed my neck with both of your hands, held me close, face to face, and said, "You dream big, brother. You dream big, brother, but you cannot dream bigger than God. You think that the doors are closed, but God will open doors for you that no one can shut." You did the same for the American couple who had been serving in our community for 2 months and had been seeking confirmation from the Lord. You held them close and said, the devil's been attacking you, sowing doubt and fear to make you leave your calling in this place. But God wants you to know that he is here to confirm your calling and that he is the one who brought you here. Now let me share the story behind the two things the Holy Spirit revealed to you. Both of those messages were deeply connected to our past and future. And I want to share this with you to encourage you and build a closer connection. I feel the same love for you that I have for my own father. Even though we don't know each other well, it felt as though I've known you for a long time. That's why I said to you at the end of the sermon, where have you been until today? I still have our picture together, and you can see both of our eyes red from crying. Jacob and Hannah, the American couple, met each other during a mission, and both have a deep passion for reaching people and bringing them to Jesus. They have been serving God sacrificially, and during those months, they were praying, God, please, if we should stay here, give us a clear confirmation. We want to know for sure. I also prayed with them about this. They had no idea that on Sunday, May 5th, the day you came, you would be the answer to their prayers. Jacob and Hannah have decided to serve in our community for 2 years. They're incredibly talented and have so much to offer. They possess a wonderful heart for people, and truly, I couldn't have asked for better individuals to join us. Glory to God. Very shortly, I'll do my best to explain the story behind what you had said. You dream big, brother, but you cannot dream bigger than God. You think that the doors are closed, but God will open doors for you that no one can shut. Before coming to church that Sunday, and for the last 2 months, I had a goal to study abroad, specifically in the Czech Republic for international relations and European studies, which is essentially diplomacy. Why diplomacy? It found me. I didn't search for it. In 2014, I met a prominent diplomat named Karel Kavanda, who was the head of the UN and NATO for the Czech Republic. I met him when I was 14 years old, working as a waiter. He encouraged me to study, funded my education in Tirana, and connected me with various ambassadors and European institutions, all thanks to him. Regarding what you said, I graduated with high grades, 8.92 out of 10, and everyone told me that it was time for me to study abroad and pursue a career as an ambassador, just like Karel. However, in the logical world, there seemed to be a million reasons why this wasn't possible. I prayed to God saying, if this is what you want me to do, then make it happen and show me. Pastor John, within just 10 days of that prayer, everything fell into place. I received an acceptance letter from a Czech university, an accommodation letter, and everything happened so suddenly that I was amazed. Christian scholarships that could support me in this journey, I think that's right. Am I reading that? Did I say that? Okay. Christian scholarships would support me in this journey. I'd greatly appreciate help. I'm leaving for Prague on October 7th to start this new academic path. Hope to use this opportunity to influence European legislation in the future, bringing back biblical values and confronting the challenges within the system. I'm also including an About Me presentation for you to learn about more about me. As you can see, God is good. He has connected all the puzzle pieces and revealed our true destiny. I owe you a lot. You are the reason I didn't give up and why I'm still moving forward. That's why I want to say a big thank you. I hope our paths will cross again and that we can meet once more, whether in Prague or Tirana. When we do, I would love to give you a hug.
Would you stand with me? And we're standing in the natural, standing here in this little place, but we're standing before the throne of God. You know, as I read that email, I just thought, here's a young man at 14 washing dishes, an ambassador comes in and recognizes the call in his life and says, you need to pursue this. And I think about how do we raise up people that govern us rightly and justly and not for their own agenda? Well, sometimes it takes a lot of process, takes years, but God is busy building his kingdom down here. He is king, and our part is important. I don't know how big my part was on this, but I can tell you this, that when we did meet, when I hugged him, we just wept together. That's the Spirit of God joining you. That's not, and I guess I want to say, you know what, I'm referring to myself, I'm referring to you because you and I are one. For whatever reason, this little body right here in Sturgis, South Dakota, God has wanted us to have a world impact on not, won't have a newsletter, won't send out a big billing on it, but he's just networking us with people all over the world. And even if it was just this young guy just being encouraged and this young couple, I'm just trying to say I think we need to believe God that our part's important. And I think we need to pray with a specific goal in mind. This is not over. We came to win. We did not come. He always leads us in triumph. He publicly disarmed the rulers of darkness and publicly shamed them that they have no more power. Now we need to step up and believe that and believe that what we say comes to pass. Amen? So I want to really encourage you. Don't have to pray long. Just pray in faith and speak the truth. And every time you hear something negative about our city or this, just say, Lord, we're taking a stand for righteousness in this place. Raise up somebody. And when you see a young person that's a little crazy and a little bold and a little obnoxious, he's probably one of the leaders that needs to be raised up. Pray for him. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace as your word instructs us to, and we come before this throne totally confident that we belong here. We have been washed by the blood, and we are totally forgiven, and we've been made righteous, and we're blameless before you, and you openly receive us when we come into your throne room and into the judgment room of all the universe. And you've told us to come and to come there and then speak boldly, confidently. So we're coming before the throne now, Father, and we're obedient to what the Spirit of God has spoken. That we're obedient to what the Word of God that Jesus spoke when he was here on earth. And now by the unction of the Holy Spirit is enlightening us to the specifics of what we need to do. And so we're coming before your throne very boldly now to say, we pray for this city, we pray for this area, and we pray, Lord Jesus, for the leaders, for the kings and for the rulers, the president of the United States and everybody else, senator and congressman, that, Father, that you will raise up leaders for us that will lead in justice and righteousness. And, Father, we know that this enemy has blinded their eyes so they cannot see. So we're praying for the Spirit of God to unveil the Word of God to these people, to leaders. And if they're not willing to repent, if they're not willing to listen, if they're not willing to have you guide their hearts, then we pray that they be removed and their power be diminished to nothing so that we might live in the will of God, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And so we're asking this, and we're asking this for our city, that you have people that you're speaking to. I pray that they'll listen. I pray that they'll have courage. I pray that they'll take the training that they need to lead us. And that, but we're backing them up, and we're speaking the truth. That this is our territory. This is our city. We pray for its welfare. We pray for its prosperity. We pray for great things to take place. We pray for righteousness to rule. And we pray that thy kingdom come right here in the Black Hills, according to your will and according to your purposes. And you're seated until that takes place. So we're not backing off. We're not slowing down. We draw upon your grace now because we cannot do this in the flesh. We cannot do this in our own power. We cannot do this, and we'll take no boast about it because we will boast only in you. But you are our King. You are our Savior. You are the one who leads us, and we take our rightful place now and declare righteousness in this area. And then we declare that you're loving, incredible love and tenderheartedness and mercy will lead multitudes to salvation, to know you, to walk with you, to be your disciples, and to love one another. And we pray for all our network all over the world for the same thing. And we declare victory. And we won't settle for anything less. With our last breath, we will declare, we triumph in Christ Jesus. The nations are yours, Jesus, and we're in you. Give us the nations, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.